nationally, homes are theoretically getting more affordable. I mean, the overarching economic metrics are telling us that conditions for buyers are actually improving right now.
Right. They're supposed to be getting better.
Yeah. So why are sales just plummeting off a cliff? Today, we're looking at this like bizarre market paradox where buyers are deliberately freezing themselves in place.
It really is bizarre.
It's like they're treating their capital like it's a game of financial chicken. And more importantly, we're going to look at exactly what that hesitation means for your equity.
Because it is a fascinating psychological standoff. I mean, we are basically watching the classic rules of supply and demand buckle under the weight of behavioral economics.
Yeah.
When affordability improves, but the volume of sales drops, well, it tells you that the friction isn't in the wallets of the buyers. It's in their heads.
Wow. Yeah, that makes total sense. And welcome to the deep dive, everyone. We are recording this in late March 2026.
Spring is definitely here.
Spring has officially arrived. I mean, if you look out the window here in Texas, the bluebonnets are just starting to peek out along the highways.
Well, they're gorgeous right now.
They really are. And Easter is right around the corner. So right now, all across the state, homeowners are doing that annual ritual, you know, of spring cleaning.
Sweeping out the garages.
Exactly. Sweeping the garages, touching up the scuff marks on the baseboards. And inevitably, they are standing in their driveways contemplating whether this is like the right season to put their property on the market.
Which is the traditional rhythm of real estate, right?
Yeah.
The spring market is supposed to be the great thawing out.
Right.
But the traditions that have really governed the past few years, the absolute frenzy, the waived inspections, the lines wrapped around the block for an open house, those traditions are completely dead.
Completely dead. And that brings us to the core mission of our deep dive today. We are looking directly at you, the curious learner, the prospective buyer, trying to, you know, time your move, and especially the potential seller trying to protect your net worth right now. We are unpacking a highly detailed, incredibly relevant stack of data today.
It's a dense stack, too.
It really is. We have the February 2026 real estate market reports from the National Association of Realtors.
The NANAIR data.
Right. And we are crossing that with regional block-by-block data from NTRES, which, if you are new to the terminology, locals pronounce that NETRES.
METRES, exactly.
But, you know, data without a human application is just math. So we're going to filter all of this raw intelligence through the professional framework of a 10-plus year local real estate veteran.
David Peet.
Yes, David Peet of Peet Realty. We are going to use his firm's operational manifesto as a real-time case study to understand how professionals are actually surviving this current bottleneck.
Because the housing market is undergoing a fundamental structural transition right beneath our feet. I mean, it's shifting as we speak.
Mm.
We are going to extract the mechanisms from this data with a laser focus specifically on Denton County to show you not just what is happening, but how it is happening.
Right, the mechanics of it.
Exactly. We want to show you the hidden gears turning behind the scenes of a 2026 transaction and, well, why navigating this specific spring market requires an entirely different playbook than anything we've seen in the last decade.
So let's start with that paradox I mentioned at the very top. Before we can figure out what is happening on your specific street in Denton County, we really need to look at the macro weather system.
The big picture.
The big picture. And right now, the macro picture is a tale of two completely different realities. We've got the national story versus the North Texas story.
And they are very different stories. The national data provided by the National Association of Realtors for February 2026, it paints a very distinct, very gray, cooling trend.
Okay.
U.S. existing home sales have declined by 8.4%. They've dropped to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 3.91 million.
Now, wait. To the average person, 3.91 million homes sounds like a massive engine that is still just humming along.
Sure. It sounds like a big number.
But in the context of the American real estate machine, dipping below that 4 million mark is a significant psychological and economic barrier, right?
It's sluggish.
It is incredibly sluggish. It represents a 4.4% drop from the exact same time 1 year earlier.
Wow.
And this goes back to your opening hook. The NAR report explicitly notes that this decline is happening despite conditions that are categorized as improving in terms of affordability.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. I really want to try to understand the mechanics of that hesitation because it feels, frankly, completely counterintuitive.
It is.
Like, if I go to a car dealership and the trucks are suddenly way more affordable than they were a year ago, I buy the truck.
Right, you take the deal.
Exactly. But with housing, affordability improves, and people just back away from the table. Why?
Because a car is a depreciating asset, and a house is viewed as an appreciating investment.
It comes down to a concept in behavioral economics known as anchoring, combined with acute loss aversion.
Anchoring.
Yeah. When buyers hear the media say affordability is improving, they don't interpret that as, oh, now is the time to strike.
Right. They don't see it as a sale.
No, they interpret it as the boulder is finally rolling down the hill. They anchor their expectations to future theoretical savings.
Oh, I see. So they think it's going to get even cheaper.
Exactly. They sit on their hands because they are terrified of catching a falling knife.
Yeah.
They don't want to buy a house on a Tuesday and then read a headline on Thursday that says prices dropped another 2%.
So it's basically a self-fulfilling paralysis.
That's a great way to put it.
And the slowdown actually followed a brief 5.1% increase the previous month, right? Which I imagine was just a momentary release of pent-up demand.
Yeah, that was likely people who absolutely had to move for a job or, you know, family reasons.
Right, life events that force a move. But once that specific pressure valve released, the overall trend just returned to a retreat. I mean, sales fell month over month and year over year in all four major U.S. regions.
Which leaves us with a national market where buyers are simply staring at sellers, waiting for someone to blink.
A stare down. But then, you know, we pan the camera down to our specific region. We look at North Texas. And the data here doesn't just mirror the national freeze.
No, it doesn't.
It actually presents a really complex, almost contradictory local bottleneck.
The divergence in the regional behavior is what makes North Texas such a fascinating case study right now. It really is.
Because I'm looking at the North Texas numbers from the NTRICE report right now. New listings are actually up.
Yeah.
They are up 3.6%. That represents 15,428 homes hitting the market. So people here are not paralyzed when it comes to deciding to sell. They are doing the spring cleaning and they are putting those signs in the yard. But pending sales, meaning the homes actually going under contract and moving toward a closing date, are down 6.4%, sitting at just 8,748 homes.
So if we visualize that, we have over 15,000 new properties flowing into the top of the funnel, but fewer than 9,000 making it to the pending stage at the bottom.
Wow.
The intake is expanding, but the outflow is heavily constricted.
And when you have a bottleneck of supply like that, the pressure has to go somewhere, right?
It always does.
And historically, it impacts the price and the timeline. So in the North Texas region overall, the median sales price dipped 3.5% down to $356,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of time it takes to actually sell a house, the days on market, or DOM, increased by 6.9% to a regional average of 77 days.
And yet here is the metric that economists obsess over. Despite that bottleneck, the month's supply of inventory remained entirely flat at exactly 4.4 months.
Okay, let me take a swing at explaining this month supply concept, because I think it's really easy for people to misunderstand it as just like, how many houses are sitting empty?
Yeah, people confuse that all the time.
I always think of it like the burn rate for inventory on a retail shelf.
Okay, I like that.
Like if a grocery store has 100 boxes of cereal and people buy 10 boxes a day, they have a 10-day supply.
Right.
If no delivery truck ever shows up again, the shelf is completely empty in 10 days. So a 4.4-month supply in real estate means if nobody listed another home starting today, it would take roughly 4.5 months for the current pool of active buyers to buy up every single house on the market.
That is an excellent baseline explanation. It is fundamentally a burn rate. But the crucial nuance with real estate, unlike cereal, is that the shoppers change their behavior based on the perceived supply.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, historically, a balanced market where neither the buyer nor the seller holds overwhelming leverage sits right around a 4 to 6 month supply.
Right, because at a 4 to 6 month pace, buyers have enough options that they don't have to panic, but sellers still have enough steady traffic to maintain their pricing power.
Exactly. Now, contrast that with a hyper-seller's market we witnessed just a couple of years ago.
Oh, man, don't remind me.
Right. We were seeing inventory levels drop down to a one-month supply or even a matter of weeks in certain Dallas suburbs.
That's crazy.
That wasn't a market. That was a blood sport. So when we see a 4.4-month supply today, it indicates a market that is fundamentally stabilizing. The absolute frenzy is cooling into a much more methodical, traditional cadence.
Okay, so when we look at that North Texas median price dropping 3.5% to $356,000, and the days on market stretching out to 77 days, we aren't looking at a crash.
No.
We are just looking at the market catching its breath.
It is normalization. But we have to acknowledge the human element here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Normalization feels like a crisis if your financial expectations are anchored to a historical anomaly.
Oh, that is so true.
If you are a seller today and your primary point of reference is watching your neighbor sell their exact same floor plan in 48 hours with multiple cash offers back in 2022,
mm-hmm.
well, a 77-day market is going to feel like a slow-motion disaster.
It's that psychological friction again. Buyers see the North Texas median price drop 3.5%, and their loss aversion kicks in. They decide to wait for a 5% drop.
Mm-hmm.
But sellers see the exact same 3.5% drop, and their ego kicks in. They refuse to list for anything less than what their neighbor got 2 years ago.
And that gap in perception, the space between the seller's pride and the buyer's fear, is exactly why pending sales are down 6.4% while new listings are up.
Wow.
The sellers are bringing the inventory to the table, but the buyers are refusing to pull out their checkbooks.
That paints a very, very clear picture of the macro weather system over North Texas. But as anyone who lives here knows, it can be pouring rain in Fort Worth and completely sunny in Dallas.
Right.
Regional averages are great for economists, but real estate is inherently hyper-local. So if North Texas is the macro system, Denton County is a very specific, highly nuanced microclimate.
It really is.
I want to transition from those big regional averages to the exact localized reality that you, our listener, care about the most right now. Let's pull out the microscope and look directly at Denton County.
This is where the data transitions from economic theory to intense practical application. Because the trends in Denton County right now are showcasing some incredible behavioral shifts.
Okay, I am looking at the county by county trends report for February 2026, and I'm focusing specifically on single family homes in Denton. We are comparing February 2025 directly to February 2026.
Let's hear it.
First, let's look at pure volume. Closed sales dipped slightly. In February 2025, there were 111 closed sales. In February 2026, that number dropped to 106.
A very minor contraction in pure transaction volume. I mean, just five fewer homes trading hands.
Right, it doesn't sound like much.
If you just looked at that one metric, you might assume nothing had changed. But the financial metrics surrounding those 106 sales reveal a profound evaporation of equity.
It really is an evaporation. The median sales price in Denton County saw a notable, undeniable drop. We went from $373,490 in February of 2025 down to $349,950 in February of 2026.
We really need to pause and convert that into real-world impact.
Yeah.
That is a decrease of over $23,000 in the median valuation.
$23,000. I mean, if you are a middle-class family relying on the equity in your home to fund your next down payment or, you know, to pay for your kids' college tuition or to fund your retirement, that is a brutal hit.
It's massive.
You are essentially losing the equivalent of a brand new entry-level car in pure equity over the course of 12 months. It's not just numbers on a page. It's delayed retirements and altered life plans.
And it is reflected in the foundational value of the properties themselves. The price per square foot fell accordingly, dropping from $197.91 per square foot down to $184.94.
Which means every single square foot of your kitchen, your living room, your garage is literally worth less today than it was a year ago.
Literally.
And crucially, Denton County is feeling that regional deceleration in market pace incredibly acutely. The days on market, the amount of time you have to keep your house perfectly clean, endure showings, and wait for a contract jumped significantly.
Mm-hmm.
It went from 59 days in 2025 to 80 days in 2026.
Let's talk about the reality of an 80-day market. We are talking about nearly three full months of uncertainty.
That sounds exhausting.
A 30-day market is an inconvenience. An 80-day market is a psychological endurance test. This is where the anxiety begins to compound and where unrepresented or poorly represented sellers make catastrophic financial mistakes out of sheer exhaustion.
You know, to me, the difference between a 30-day market and an 80-day market is the difference between a blowout and a slow leak in a tire.
I like that.
If you have a blowout, say a massive market crash where nothing is selling, you know immediately what the problem is. You pull over, you assess the damage, you change your plans.
Right.
But an 80-day market is a slow leak. You put the house up for sale. 2 weeks go by, You get a few showings, but no offers. You think, well, the weather was bad this weekend.
It's just a slow weekend.
Right. Another 2 weeks go by, your agent says, we're getting digital traffic, let's just hold steady. By day 60, the tire is almost flat, your equity is deflating, and you are starting to panic.
That is a brilliant analogy, because a slow leak requires constant active management to prevent a total failure. And the proof of that deflation is in what I consider the most vital metric in this specific Denton County data set, the percent of original list price received.
Okay, let's look at that. In February 2025, sellers in Denton were getting 95.5% of their original asking price. In February 2026, that has dropped to 93.0%.
A drop of 2.5 percentage points. Here. Let's apply that to our median home price of roughly $350,000. That 2.5% gap represents roughly $8,750. That drop from 95.5 to 93% is the mechanical difference between a quick, straightforward closing where the buyer accepts the house as is, versus a protracted, highly defensive negotiation where the buyer is clawing back value at every possible juncture.
Walk me through how that clawback actually happens, because buyers don't just walk up to the front door and say, I'm only paying 93%. It happens in stages, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It is a multi-stage confrontation. In a hyperseller's market, a buyer might notice that the HVAC system is 15 years old, but they keep their mouths shut because they know there are five backup offers behind them.
Right, they don't want to lose the house over an AC unit.
Exactly. But in our current 80-day Denton market, the buyer weaponizes the inspection report. They offer 96% of the list price up front just to get the house under contract.
Okay.
Then, during the option period, they bring in an inspector who flags the older HVAC, some crash weather stripping, and, I don't know, a slow drain.
The typical stuff.
Right. But then the buyer threatens to walk away on day 14 unless the seller concedes another $10,000 in repair credits or closing costs. That is how you bleed down to 93% of the original list price.
Okay, hold on. I want to push back on something in this data, because looking at the entry ICE report, there is a glaring contradiction here.
Okay, what do you see?
We just established that days on market increased dramatically, jumping from 59 to 80 days.
Right.
Normally, basic economics dictates that when homes take longer to sell, inventory piles up on the shelf. You would expect the month's supply of inventory to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at the Denton County numbers right here. The overall month supply of inventory actually shrank slightly. It went from 3.5 months in 2025 to 3.3 months in 2026.
Right.
That makes zero economic sense. Usually low supply means fast sales. What is breaking the rule here?
It's an incredibly astute observation, and it's the defining characteristic of the 2026 Denton buyer. It seems like a math error, but it's actually an indicator of a deeply psychological shift in the buyer pool.
How so? Because my brain is breaking trying to make sense of a shrinking supply and a longer time on the market.
A tighter inventory, alongside longer days on market, tells us that buyers are being surgically picky with the limited homes that are available.
Oh.
They are no longer operating out of desperation. Even though inventory is tight at 3.3 months, they're perfectly willing to wait out the seller.
Wow.
They will tour a home, look at the $184 price per square foot, notice that the kitchen needs updating, and decide to just walk away. They will let that house sit there for 80 days until the seller is exhausted enough to negotiate down to that 93% threshold.
So they realize they hold the leverage. Even if the absolute number of homes for sale isn't massive, it's what you might call, like, weaponized patience.
Weaponized patience is exactly right. They are using time as a bludgeon against the seller's anxiety.
That's intense.
And when a buyer is weaponizing patience, a seller who does not understand the mechanics of this specific market is incredibly vulnerable. They might panic drop the price by $15,000 on day 30, totally destroying their equity.
Right.
Or, conversely, their ego might take over, and they refuse to negotiate at all, letting the property become stigmatized by sitting on the market for 150 days until everyone assumes there's a foundation issue.
Which brings us to a massive realization for anyone listening who is contemplating entering this market. Knowing these numbers, memorizing the NTRACE PDF reports, understanding the 80 days on market and the $349,000 median price, that is only half the battle.
It's just the baseline.
Exactly. Knowing the actual dirt, the physical reality of the county you are operating in, is the other half, because you cannot fight weaponized patience with a spreadsheet.
No, you cannot.
You fight it with boots on the ground. We need to transition from the abstract data to the physical landscape of Denton County itself. And more importantly, we need to analyze who exactly is equipped to navigate it.
Because Denton County is an incredibly complex geographic entity. It is not just one continuous suburban subdivision.
Far from it.
The strategy you use to sell a house in one zip code will completely fail in another, even within the same county lines.
Yeah, if you look at the geographic maps provided in these summary reports, Denton County is a vast, almost schizophrenic tapestry.
That's a good word for it.
On one hand, you have these dense, bustling urban and suburban hubs. You have the city of Denton itself, heavily influenced by the universities, featuring a vibrant, walkable downtown and historic neighborhoods.
Mm.
You have Louisville and Flower Mound, which are deeply integrated into the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. These areas are defined by their commute times, their massive master plan communities, and their proximity to corporate corridors. The county even extends into parts of highly developed economic engines like Frisco, Plano, and Carrollton.
And the mechanics of selling in those areas are driven by school district ratings, HOA amenities, and a very specific suburban lifestyle expectation.
Right.
The buyer for a townhome in the colony, or a four-bedroom tract home in Flower Mound, is evaluating price per square foot against the convenience of reaching the tollway.
But then you drive just 20 minutes further out within the exact same county, and the landscape changes completely.
It's like a different world.
It is. You hit the rural, wide-open spaces near Sanger, up by Pilot Point, out toward Aubrey and Argyle. You transition from planned communities with strict HOAs to sprawling acreage, farm-to-market roads, and agricultural zoning.
And this duality is exactly why evaluating the professional you choose to represent you makes an exponential difference in your bottom line.
Yeah.
Evaluating 5 acres of sandy loam, understanding the intricacies of livestock zoning, or navigating the realities of rural utility access, like septic systems, aerobic versus anaerobic tanks, and well water depths that requires an entirely different technical playbook than selling a house on a quarter-acre lot with city sewer.
Which is exactly why we are using the profile of David Peet from Peet Realty as our case study today. We are not looking at his manifesto as an advertisement. We're looking at it as a survival guide for this specific market bottleneck.
Exactly.
The background provided in the Peet Realty materials is distinctly tailored to this exact geographic duality. It specifically notes that he and his wife raise British white cattle. It mentions that they care for retired Tennessee walkers, which, for those who don't know, are a specific breed of gated horse, and that these horses spent their riding years specifically traversing the North Texas LBJ Grasslands trail system.
It is a highly specific, deeply lived-in biographical detail. And in the context of our 80-day hyper-negotiated market, it is not just colorful background noise. It is a vital professional credential.
I want to analyze that critically, though. I can hear a listener right now rolling their eyes and asking, okay, that sounds like a lovely rustic lifestyle, but how does a real estate agent's personal hobby of raising cattle and riding horses actually prevent me from losing $23,000 in equity? Does it really matter if my agent knows what a Tennessee Walker is?
If you are selling property in the northern or western expanses of Denton County, it matters immensely because it dictates how they defend your property's valuation against an appraiser and a picky buyer.
Okay, tell me more about that.
The source material explicitly states that this background gives them a keen eye for farm and ranch opportunities and those looking to spread out a little.
Right.
What that means in practical mechanical terms is hyperlocal terrain knowledge. Knowing the LBJ grasslands intimately isn't just about leisurely trail riding. It means understanding the topography, the seasonal changes in the water table, the access points, and the reality of maintaining property in that specific environment.
So it's about translating the land into value.
Exactly. When you are selling acreage in Pilot Point or a property suited for equestrian use near Sanger, you are not just selling a structure made of wood and brick.
Yeah.
You are selling a highly specific utility-driven lifestyle.
That makes sense.
And you're selling it to a buyer who is incredibly knowledgeable about that lifestyle. If an equestrian buyer comes to look at a 5-acre property and asks about the drainage in the lower pasture or whether the fencing is appropriate for a specific type of livestock, an agent who only knows suburban subdivisions is going to stare at them blankly.
They won't even know what pipe fencing is.
Right. They will lose credibility instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And in an 80-day market, lost credibility means a lower offer.
But an agent who raises British white cattle can look at that pasture and speak the buyer's language. They know the difference between pipe fencing and barbed wire, and they know how to price that infrastructure.
Absolutely.
They can market the property not just by throwing it on the MLS and hoping for the best, but by networking within the specific communities of people looking to, as the source says, spread out a little.
Furthermore, they understand the valuation metrics. we discussed the declining price per square foot in Denton, dropping from $197 to $184.
Yeah, that big drop.
But how does that apply to a farm? A declining suburban price per square foot affects a rural property very differently. The value of the dirt, the outbuildings, the loafing sheds, the cross fencing, all of that has to be quantified and vigorously defended.
Defended against the appraiser, you mean?
Yes. That keen eye isn't a marketing slogan. It is the shield that protects the seller's equity when the appraiser shows up.
That brings us to the most critical part of our deep dive. We've established the macro freeze. We have proven with the data that it's now an 80-day market in Denton County.
It is.
We know that prices are softening by roughly $23,000. Buyers are weaponizing their patience to negotiate down to 93% of list price. And the terrain itself is incredibly complex. Now, we have to bring it all together. How does a property owner actually navigate this gauntlet without losing their mind and their money?
That is the ultimate question of the 2026 spring market.
Mm-hmm.
Because recognizing the mathematical difficulty of the market is one thing. Managing the immense psychological and financial friction it creates is another entirely.
Let's analyze the core philosophy of Pete Realty as outlined in their materials. Their primary manifesto right at the top is real estate made real easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an impartial observer looking at an 80-day market where buyers are aggressively clawing back equity, the word easy sounds almost laughable.
It sounds like a contradiction.
It sounds like an impossible promise. So looking at the mechanics of what they actually do, how do they attempt to justify that claim?
They attempt to justify it through a combination of historical experience and operational capacity. The sources highlight David Pete's credentials over 10 years of experience helping clients buy and sell in these specific counties.
And that 10-year mark is critical.
It's very critical. It means he didn't just get his license during the easy pandemic-fueled boom of 2021 when houses basically sold themselves.
Anyone could sell a house in 2021.
Right. It means he has navigated downturns, interest rate spikes, plateaus, and transitions before. Furthermore, they operate as a professional sales and marketing organization out of Aubrey, Texas.
Which places them geographically right in the crosshairs of that transition zone between the dense suburban sprawl of Frisco and the rural expanse of Pilot Point. They are physically embedded in the friction zone. And their manifesto specifically addresses the underlying anxiety of the current market. They write, "A lot goes on behind the scenes in a real estate transaction, things that you need a trusted partner to manage and make easy for you."
If we look critically at what that actually means, we have to recognize that in this market, an agent is no longer an order taker. They are a crisis manager.
Oh, I love that. A crisis manager.
Making real estate easy for the homeowner in an 80-day environment isn't about snapping your fingers and producing a cash buyer on day one. That's a fantasy.
Right.
Making it easy is about acting as an emotional and administrative shield. It is about absorbing the stress of the process so the seller doesn't make a reactive, panic-driven mistake.
Let's pull the curtain back on that. What does that behind-the-scenes work actually look like mechanically when the median price is dropping? Let's take the appraisal process, for example. We know the price per square foot in Denton fell to $184 per square cents. If I'm a seller and I miraculously get a buyer to agree to $195 per square foot, I'm thrilled. But then the appraiser shows up. How does an agent actually fight an appraiser to protect that deal?
It is a rigorous, highly proactive confrontation. The appraiser is looking at backward-facing data. They're looking at the homes that close over the last 90 days, which, as we know, reflect a declining trend.
Right. They are looking at the past.
If the appraiser values the home lower than the contract price, you have an appraisal gap, and the buyer's lender will not fund the loan. The deal is dead.
Wow.
A seasoned agent doesn't just unlock the door for the appraiser and hope for the best. They meet the appraiser armed with a comprehensive packet of highly specific, localized, comparable sales.
They come prepared.
Very prepared. They point out the nuances the algorithm missed, that this specific property backs up to a protected greenbelt or has superior soil drainage, or features custom outbuildings that justify the premium. They build a forensic case to defend your value.
They are essentially acting as a defense attorney for your equity.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the exact same logic applies to managing inspections and contingencies. When a buyer knows your home has sat on the market for 60 days, they will use every minor defect in the inspection report to try and claw back cash.
Yep, the slow drain and the weather stripping.
Exactly. They will demand a new water heater because the current one is 5 years old. The trusted partner is the buffer in that negotiation. they separate legitimate safety issues from normal wear and tear.
Right.
They might bring in their own trusted contractors to prove a repair only costs $500 rather than the $5,000 the buyer is demanding. That is how they prevent you from sliding down to that 93% list price received ratio.
It also requires a completely different approach to marketing, doesn't it? I mean, we know pending sales are down 6.4% regionally. The pool of willing buyers is literally shrinking.
It is.
You cannot just rely on the passive syndication of the MLS to do the heavy lifting anymore. You need an organization that actively hunts for the specific buyer who wants that exact property in Aubrey or Sanger or Louisville.
Yes, active hunting.
You have to pitch the lifestyle, the utility of the land, and the specific geographic benefits, not just the bedroom count.
Making it easy ultimately means the seller isn't dealing with the late-night lowball offers, the flaky buyers who cancel showings at the last minute, or the administrative nightmare of title paperwork and strict contingency deadlines.
It's absorbing the blow.
Exactly. The professional organization absorbs the friction of the 80 days, allowing the seller to focus on their life and livelihood, which, as the Pete Realty materials rightly point out, is the most important part of the equation.
You know, I want to leave our listeners with an analogy that I think perfectly encapsulates everything we've discussed today, from the national data drop to the intricacies of Denton County dirt.
I'd love to hear it.
Selling a house in a 30-day market where prices are universally climbing and buyers are desperate is a 100-meter sprint. You just need someone to hold the stopwatch, point you in a straight line, and tell you how fast you ran. Almost anyone can do it.
True.
But selling a house in an 80-day market where prices are softening, inventory is tight, but buyers are relentlessly picky and you have to defend every single dollar of your equity against appraisals and inspections, that is a marathon. It is a grueling endurance event over varied terrain.
And you do not want a sprint coach training you for a marathon.
Exactly. You need a completely different kind of professional. You need someone who knows the trail ahead because they have ridden it literally, in the case of the LBJ grasslands, and figuratively across 10 years of fluctuating real estate cycles.
Mm.
You need someone who knows when to push back against a buyer, when to hold steady on price, and how to navigate the inevitable obstacles without letting you give up or give away your hard-earned equity.
Because the current market metrics demand a specialized guide, not just a facilitator. The complexity of the transaction has simply grown too large for a casual approach.
So as we wrap up this incredibly deep dive into the 2026 North Texas real estate reality, let's quickly retrace the journey we've just taken. We started by looking at the national data downturn, examining the paradox of improving affordability matched with an 8.4% drop in U.S. existing home sales.
And we explored the behavioral economics and psychological anchoring causing that freeze.
We then unpacked the precise shifts right here in the Denton County microclimate. We explored the reality of a slow leak market where the median price has dropped by roughly $23,000, where homes are lingering for 80 days.
And where buyers are weaponizing their patience to force sellers into surrendering about 7% of their initial asking price at the closing table.
Right. And we explored the incredibly diverse geographic tapestry of this region, from the dense suburban grids of Plano and Frisco to the open ranch lands of Sanger and Pilot Point.
Which is a huge contrast.
It is. We use the manifesto of David Pete to understand how a deep, lived-in understanding of North Texas terrain, whether that's fighting an appraisal gap in a subdivision or knowing the soil quality on an equestrian property, is the ultimate defensive shield for a seller today.
As the Pete Realty materials state, the home you are buying or selling is a vital part of your life and livelihood. The financial stakes in an 80-day market are simply too high to leave to chance or inexperience.
Definitely.
If you are listening to this and you are considering selling now, this spring, or in the near future, you really need a professional organization capable of managing that friction. We highly encourage you to utilize the insights we've discussed and contact David Pete. You can reach him directly at david@peterealty.com or call the office at 214-287-0009.
Because navigating this specific transitioning bottleneck requires that exact level of dedication and local insight. So as you go back to your late March Easter preparations, as you finish up that spring cleaning, sweep out the garage, and look around your property, I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to ponder.
As the market normalizes
As the frenzy permanently fades and buyers take their absolute time, calculating every dollar and aggressively weighing every option, ask yourself this. Is your property positioned, priced, and represented to be the undeniable aha moment for a buyer on day one, or will it still be waiting for attention, slowly leaking equity on day 80? Because right now, in this specific climate, the difference between those two outcomes just might be the trusted partner you choose to guide you through the storm.